I'm afraid I'm running out. No thanks, Jimmy. Tonight will be the third lesson that we've studied in this series, and it's the title, at least, is based on the idea or the concept that we sometimes imagine limitations where they do not exist. When it comes to things that are described in Scripture as personal traits of character and morality and righteousness, I'm afraid sometimes we act as though we believe that there is a definite and certain quantity pool that we pull from for our forgiveness and for our patience and so forth. And then once we've used a lot of it, it's kind of in short supply. That may be the way that some things are in our lives. We definitely need to be conscious of things that are limited and things that we might run out of. But I don't see these things represented in Scripture as being that way. And when God tells us that we need to be forgiving of one another, I don't believe He's telling us that we need to be forgiving as long as the forgiveness lasts, but it'll run out sooner or later, and then we won't have any more to give. And it's not that way. That's not the way that God wants our lives to be characterized. That's not how God considers those things and their importance. When God tells us that we need to be forgiving of one another, that means we need to develop a forgiving spirit and a forgiving attitude, and that we should have a readiness to forgive always from then on. And there will be challenges to our hearts, to our attitudes. There'll be challenges that come through other people's treatment of us and other people's attitude, and yet God expects us to always do the right thing and to never try to make an excuse for why we can't be forgiving or patient. Patience is another one of those, I call them big ticket items. Not because they're expensive in the sense that you'd go to the store and write a big check for it, but in the sense that they are expensive because it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to keep patience factored into your attitude, your heart. But God expects us to always be patient. He expects us to be working on that all the way, every step of the way, and developing that patience more and more fully. And yet the reality is, for some of us, and we'll even admit, you know, the older I get, the more impatient I am. It just means we need to work on it more. Because the pool of patience is not going to run out. We may not use it as often as we should, but it's always available for us. It's not cheap, again. It doesn't come without effort, but it's there. Maybe you noticed on the front of the bulletin this morning or today that tonight we were going to talk about three of these things, and I'll just admit to you right now, I loaded my plate too heavily with that. As I started trying to get everything together and figure out what should be said and could be said, and then I began to think more and more about what we wouldn't have time to say, I figured that the best thing to do would be to cut it back down to one thing. And so tonight I'd like for us to give our careful attention to the subject of kindness. Kindness. That's not one of the things that we generally associate with our everyday lives. It may be that some people are particularly inclined toward being more kind to others. And we may describe someone talking about them and say, well, you know, that's one of the kindest people I've ever been around. But by and large, we don't generally all regard ourselves. I mean, we understand we've got to love one another, but we don't think all that much about how important it is to be kind, not just to one another, but to everybody. And so tonight, I'd like for us to look at kindness in some of the same ways that we've looked at these other two subjects that we've studied thus far. We're going to depart from that a little bit at the end, but let's go ahead and start out with some definitions. What is kindness? And one of the first things that I want to bring out is the fact that kindness is one of those things that's really tough to define. We know what it is when we see it. We know that we like it when we see someone exhibited in their lives because we like to be around them. We think that it's very complimentary. But if somebody comes up to us and says, give me a definition of kindness, and you say, it's kind of tough to put into words. It's really tempting to say, well, it just means being kind to everybody. Well, that's always a shortcut that you're not allowed to take, because rule number one is you cannot use the word in the definition of the word. Webster, if it's any comfort to you, Webster has the same problem. Webster's dictionary that I consulted on the subject of kindness, and I consider this to be a very great authority. Great in the sense that the particular one I have is about 8 inches thick. It has to have a table all its own to sit on. I don't know how many words are in that thing, but it's a huge dictionary. It was first printed in about 1899, and so it goes back far enough not to have been contaminated with some of the modern changes and alterations in what things really are. But Webster's dictionary defines kindness by just giving several other words: sympathetic, friendly, gentle, tender-hearted, generous, and then in case we left anything out, that famous ETC, etc. Or you know what I'm talking about. That's what that stands for. You know what I mean. That's what kindness is. Actually, Webster goes a step further and they offer some synonyms, or words that mean the same thing, or words that could be suitably substituted for the word kindness: tender, affectionate, well-disposed, courteous. Now, honestly, fellas, that sounds almost a little effeminate, doesn't it? I mean, for us guys, you know, we're manly men. We don't really get mixed in with all that soft and tender stuff. And so, you know, you watch TV and the guy there on TV says you men need to get in touch with your feminine side. I've got a feminine side. I married her back in August of 1978, and everything's been working really well ever since then. You know, kindness is probably not the thing that comes real easy or naturally to most of us guys. Rough and tumble, now that's natural to us. That comes easy. Get down in the dirt and scrap every now and then. That's more suited to our nature. But the fact is, kindness is not gender related insofar as what God's word says. Kindness is a quality of God and of Christians. Incidentally, if you look in the New Testament for the word kindness, or some form of it, kindness, depending on which translation you look at, you'll find it in there from 6 to 12 times in the New Testament. And some of the translations use other words. For example, goodness is a word the King James Version uses many times when the English Standard Version or the New American Standard uses the word kindness. But it's in there. It's real. And it's needed. Now, as I said, there are a couple of things that are really important about kindness that will be our answer to the question, why do we need to know about kindness? Why should we talk about it? What's the point in spending time in trying to learn more about kindness? Well, first of all, consider the fact that kindness is a trait of God. Did you know that? Kindness is a quality of God. God is kind. In fact, turn with me over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 is the home of one of my favorite passages, one that I memorized a long, long time ago, and it's always kind of right at the tip of my tongue, one that really encourages me. And it's Luke 6, verse 38, which says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure you give withal, it shall be given to you." So, that's not the verse that talks about kindness. Back up just a couple of verses to verse 35. Luke 6, verse 35 says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Did you know that? The kindness of God isn't necessarily limited by a person's moral conduct or behavior. Now there comes a time when, after everything's said and done and all of the opportunities are spent, when, as we talked about this morning, it's too late, then we come to another verse that tells us about the kindness of God, Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Romans 11 and verse 22. "Note or behold then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in His kindness." And so God is especially kind to those who honor Him and obey Him. And the Bible teaches that in other places, in other ways, with other words. While God does send the rain on the just and the unjust, we know that He promises His special care to those who love Him and obey Him. And He even uses His providence to cause all things to work together for good to those that love Him. Romans 8, verse 28. Now, there's another passage that talks about the kindness of God. It's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. You may remember Ephesians chapter 2 is that chapter that talks about the grace of God. In fact, verse 8 is the verse that most of us have encountered often. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of your own. It's the gift of God, not the result of works. No one should boast." But before we get down to verse 8, verse 7 says, again, still speaking about God's regard for mankind and how God takes care of man and provides for man, He says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, providing his sacrificial blood on the cross to wash away our sins, is an act of God's kindness. You say, well, I always thought it was God's grace. Well, in this sense, God's grace and God's kindness are right there together. It's because of his kindness that he's extended his grace toward us. You know, as we get further into this, it becomes more and more evident that kindness is a very important trait of God. There's one more that I have for you, Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. Again, along the same line, Titus 3 verse 4 says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, in other words, we haven't earned our salvation, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration of renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Well, believe it or not, there are several other passages in the New Testament that talk about the kindness of God. And most of them are in that same vein, pointing toward God's concern for mankind, his love, motivated by his concern for man and the kindness that resulted from that care that God has for us. But let's look at another side of kindness, because it is something that is demanded of Christians. Kindness is demanded of God's people. Now, that makes perfect sense, because I remember one place in Scripture that says, be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. The verse we read just a few minutes ago over in Luke, the next verse says, be ye therefore merciful, for I am merciful. And so the things that we see in God are the same kind of things that God expects us to exhibit in our lives before him. The first passage we'll go to is Galatians chapter 5. There, verses 19 to 21, we read the works of the flesh, those characteristics of those who have sold their lives to the world and are following in worldly ways. But then the next couple of verses describe the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 22, you'll find the fruit of the Spirit being one, or kindness being one of the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. If you look a little bit further, you'll come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. This is a companion passage to Colossians chapter 3, where Paul, writing to the Ephesians and to the Colossians as well, talks about the fact that they no longer are living lives of worldliness, but they have put off the old man, have put on the new man, and he goes down the list and talks about things that describe this new way of life that we are to be living. And in verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There it is again. A trait of God that he expects us to do our very best at showing to one another. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Written along the same line to a similar group of Christians. Colossians chapter 3, we read last week from the first part of the chapter where Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at God's right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, you've obeyed the gospel. You've become a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And as a new creature, you've put off the old man of sin, and there are certain things that you need to put on. And here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complained against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive." There's one more on my list, and that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, which is from that list of things we call the Christian graces. Remember that list of things that Peter says, these are the things that you need to be adding to your life, constantly working on them. And then he goes on to say that if you lack these things, you're going to be nearsighted. He says, but if you let these things live in you and they abound, they'll help you be successful in your life before God. You know, I stumbled across one other thing that's worth mentioning about kindness. And I found it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Hiding right there up against that thing that we noticed last week from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, where Paul says, love is patient and kind. Love is kind. Well, that's good. All of these things, all of these verses make it clear to us that kindness is a trait of God. Kindness is demanded of God's people. What about where the rubber meets the road? How do you really practically show kindness? I believe one of the best ways to put kindness into practice is to have kindness in our hearts, always at the ready. So that when that unexpected thing, that unforeseen situation, that unusual occurrence pops up before us and has the potential to really wreck our day, I think that's when kindness really needs to come out. Let me give you a little illustration. I've written this down so I'd get it just right. You may have heard something like this before. You're traveling along a lonely road just before dark in a really deserted area, and you come up on a guy on the side of the road who has been beaten up, robbed, his clothes are in tatters, and his vehicle is gone. Now, you've just met a couple of cars on the road, but obviously nobody stopped to check on this guy. He actually appears to be unconscious. Miles and miles from any town. In fact, you're so far out in the wilderness, you've got no cell service. And obviously nobody else is stopping, so you pull off the road to get a better look. And finally, you decide to see what you can do, so you go to him with your dusty old first aid kit out of the toolbox in the back of the truck. Turns out he's not even an American. Looks foreign. Who knows? Maybe he's a drug dealer. Could be a smuggler. Criminal of some sort. After all, if everything were on the up and up, would he be lying here on the side of the road all beaten up and left? He's got some really nasty cuts and bruises, so you wash them out and clean him up as best you can. You notice that it's starting to get really cold as the sun goes down. He's still unconscious, hasn't said a word. And so you lift him up into the back of your truck and you cover him up the best you can with a couple of old horse blankets that you've got laying there. And you ease back down the road a piece where you remember passing a little dilapidated motel, and you pull in. The only vehicle in the parking lot is yours. The guy is starting to stir just a little bit as you get a room and get him into the bed for the night. You really need to be on your way, but you hate to leave him like this at this point, and so you decide to spend the night there in the little motel. The next morning, he's conscious but very weak, trying to talk, but he doesn't really speak very good English. You think it's best if he stays another day and rests up, and then maybe he can contact somebody to come get him. You go to the motel desk and you pay for another night for the guy. You go into the little snack bar there on the side of the motel and you pay for him to get a couple of meals. Then you go back to the front desk, and on your way out, you promise them that you'll follow up later if something happens and it takes more money than you thought. And then you move on. What have you done? Well, you've made contact with somebody that you normally prefer not to associate with. You've lost a whole day fooling around with him, trying to help him, trying to provide for him. You're out the money, and money isn't that easy to come by, and you have no reason to believe you can expect to be repaid for what this little episode has cost you. And when you come back through, headed home, you've promised them that you'll stop and make sure there's nothing else you owe. Because after all, that's only right. You've kind of become his Good Samaritan, haven't you? Just like Jesus described there in Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. Isn't it amazing how easy that story that Jesus told finds application in the real world? And isn't it amazing how easy it would be to be the priest or the Levite in that story that we all know so well? That's what I mean when I say that kindness is one of those things that is there ready and waiting whenever the unexpected pops into our life. Now, obviously, you can't pull over and stop at every situation on every roadside that you come to because, well, the fact is, there are a lot of people out there just trying to get you. But it's also very true that we probably overuse that as an excuse for not showing kindness, at least in some way. Kindness, tenderheartedness, sympathy, a higher level of moral character. That's what most of the Bible scholars define kindness as. A higher level of moral character. Kindness. We need more of it. It can be challenging, but there are very few things that we could incorporate into our daily Christian lives that would be any more rewarding and encouraging. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, need to respond either to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ or as an erring child of God to be restored, we hope you'll respond and come forward as we stand and sing.